Good evening. The reading tonight is taken from Acts chapter 8, and we're going to start at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out on his way, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Thank you, Joanne. Well, good evening, everybody. It's good to see you all. Just before I share, in church life, there's a notice about a meeting here called Reclaim on Tuesday night. This is an open meeting, and I would like to encourage you, if you've got some time, to come along. Some of you are aware, many of you won't be, but our brothers and sisters in the Methodist Church denomination are going through a really tough time at the moment. And we're having a meeting that we're just kind of wanting to open our doors to them and welcome them. Just to simply fellowship with them, to bless them and encourage them. And so if you could come along and just be a part of that, it would be great. It's been advertised right across the north, and not just the northwest. And we don't really know how many will come, but if you're available and you want to come along and just encourage other brothers and sisters in Christ, that would be great. That's here in Cedar, 7:30, Tuesday night. So James and Anna have made amazing decisions tonight. Powerful, life-changing decisions. And I want us just to think about that. I want us to think about the fact that we're always making decisions that actually define us, especially when we're young. A picture that I was given, and I've shared it a few times, is that you know those jelly molds you get where you can set it, and it's usually for a children's party, so it can look like a rabbit or it can look like a castle. Go on the website and look for jelly molds. You find all sorts nowadays, jelly molds that set to look like a brain and stuff like that. But imagine that your life's a jelly mold, and particularly through your formative years, going through your teens and your 20s, you're making decisions and you're constantly changing the shape of that mold. Every decision changes the shape. Till one day, the jelly sets And for the most part, that's you. My wife used to teach teenagers, and one of the things she used to say, every decision you make, you are writing your own history. You're writing in the present the who of who you're going to be in the future. And I just want us to think about that, and especially for our young folk tonight, because you have to realize, and we all need to realize, that our decisions actually define us. Moments make us. Your decision about, what university shall I go to? There's all these kind of just clamoring to have me. Which one am I going to? What career do I think I want to be? I can't decide yet, or I know for sure I'm going to be this. Your decisions will define you. What about when you get your first pay packet, whether it's a paper round or whether it's, you know, the one that they take the bit off the top, there's a lot of tax gone, and then there's a lot of student debt begun to be paid for. But what about when you get your first pay packet, what you do with your money? Will you pay your parents for looking after you? Will you give any to God or into his service? What are you going to spend? That moment, the moment of your first pay packet, how you deal with your money will define you. What about you go off to university and particularly Freshers Week, or maybe already in the sixth form, your friends invite you out and there's a lot of alcohol flowing. And your decision about whether you will or won't, and if you do, just how much. And then again and again and again, every time you make a decision about how much you will or won't drink, those decisions define you. Or drugs. Somebody's passing something round. Will peer pressure define you? Or will you make decisions that make you different? Ian's already prayed over Josh, who this week is going off for another part of his training. Hopefully, Josh wants to become a Marine. And the challenges that he's going to face as a Marine, as a soldier, not just out on the parade ground, not just in the amazing obstacle courses that they make documentaries about, but in the barracks and off duty at weekend. Josh, your decisions will define you. What about sex? Maybe you're battling with who you are sexually. We live in a world where huge question marks are raised over making decisions and understanding who we are. But finally, at some point, you're going to make a decision about who you are. And not just who you are, but how you are, and how you're going to act, and how you're going to be, and that's going to define you. When everybody else is giving in to their drives and desires, and it's okay to sleep around, your decisions about whether you're going to live God's way or the world's way, those decisions are going to define you. You are going to write your own history. You get a girlfriend or a boyfriend and you get on your own some point in the dark. And kissing and cuddling tempts you to lead way, way beyond that. And decisions you make will define you. So are you going to keep yourself for marriage sexually? Are you going to sleep around? Your decisions define you. Are you going to get what you can out of your girlfriend, or are you going to let your boyfriend sleep with you? Your decisions define you. You write your own history. Your decisions about living for leisure or pleasure define you. Or whether you're going to live to serve and give yourself up to care for others, your decisions define you. What about deciding about whether you're going to be an honest and a truthful person? Deciding that you're going to be a person who's full of love and full of grace. Deciding that you're not going to be a selfish person, but you're going to be a selfless person. What about deciding that you're going to be faithful in your friendships? And if you get to a point where you're blessed in marriage, that you're going to be absolutely faithful in marriage. What about deciding to be kind and deciding to be good? What about deciding to be patient and wait and patient and thoughtful, especially with others? What about deciding to be disciplined and self-controlled? What about deciding to be hard-working and consistent? What about deciding to live a life full of joy, where you are thankful and every day brings the opportunity to be grateful, especially to God? Defining moments. Your history is not being written for you. You are writing your own history. So let's have a look at this story that Joanna read to us about this Ethiopian eunuch. A guy who, in one sense, people had written history to him. Because at some point, if you know what a eunuch is, it's a man who's had his manhood taken away. He's serving Candace, and one assumes that as he serves this queen, he's been deliberately castrated so that he cannot have any relationships with the queen or those around her, courtiers. But he's got to a high position because he's involved in the treasury. We guess that he's got people around him who will serve him. Otherwise, he couldn't be sat in his chariot reading a scroll, not looking where he's going. Philip could have got mown down, for goodness sake. He's in a place where somebody's driving the chariot for him, so he's got people around him. But what he doesn't know, and doesn't quite know at that time, is that somebody else has got a defining moment in hand for him. God speaks to a guy called Philip, one of the followers of Jesus, who's been filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says to Philip, by the Spirit, you go down on that road from Jerusalem to Gaza. You get on that road. So Philip gets on the road. He's kind of scratching his head because he's not quite sure why he's there. And then this chariot goes by with this guy mumbling as he tries to decipher Isaiah chapter 53. Which I assume is bought from the Christian bookshop in Jerusalem. On a scroll, of course. So he's unrolled it a bit and he's reading it. And he doesn't get it. And God the Holy Spirit says to Philip, you go alongside that chariot. So Philip goes alongside that chariot and knows that this is a God moment. Because there are times in your life where there are God moments, where God wants to step in, and He has a defining moment for you. Anna shared that she couldn't quite put her finger on it, but Josh could. He could name the date, name the time. And I sat there with pride because he mentioned my son-in-law, Andrew Smith, speaking. But it wasn't that. It was at that moment, God the Holy Spirit put His hand on Josh's life in a way that Josh had never known before, and that became God's defining moment for him. And God had a defining moment for this guy who stood in a chariot reading Isaiah. He's got a defining moment for you, where He's saying, I want to step into your life. I can see what's going on in your heart. I know what's going on in your mind. The Ethiopian eunuch is what we would call a God-fearer. He was interested in the way that the Jews followed their one God, which is why he'd been up to Jerusalem, which is why he'd bought Isaiah, which is why he was reading it. God sees his heart and he says, ah, I've got a defining moment. Philip, get alongside that chariot. So Philip steps into the chariot and says, do you know what you're reading? And the guy kind of says, and Philip, as somebody who loved sharing the good news about Jesus, kind of almost you can feel him rubbing his hands because he says, well, I'm reading this, but I don't understand it, and I won't unless somebody explains it to you. And Philip's going, I wonder who that could be. Just no, Philip says, let me tell you. And it says, beginning with Isaiah chapter 53, Philip began to tell him the good news about Jesus. So, the good news about Jesus, Isaiah 53. Have you ever read it? I know many of you will have done. A prophecy made around about 600 years before Jesus, that speaks about the Messiah, the Savior that God would send, who rather than rescuing Israel with a blaze of glory, would be taken like a sheep, like a dumb sheep who couldn't speak up for itself. It would be taken and it would be slaughtered. And in those moments that Isaiah makes that prophecy, 600 years before Jesus, somehow, amazingly, he depicts the cross. Because he said this sheep was slaughtered, but as it was sacrificed, it took the sin of the world, it took it in the sacrifice, and it took it away. And it says that man, that Messiah, that Savior, that lamb that was killed, it was cut off. It was dead, gone. And who can speak of his descendants? Do you know, I guess in that moment, the eunuch would have identified with that. Because he couldn't speak of descendants. And he like, I know that. I know what that feels like. I know what that means. And then Isaiah says, but God didn't leave him there. God brought him back. And now he will see that many are justified, and those will be the generations. Those will be his descendants. And you can almost imagine Philip looking at this eunuch and saying to him, that's you. That's for you. This is God's moment for you. If you would just see that, and you can almost feel like that some penny dropping or shekel or whatever it was dropping in the mind of the Ethiopian, that suddenly this spiritual light goes on. One moment he doesn't understand what it means for a sheep to be slaughtered, for a Savior to suffer, to die and to rise again. And then he does. I guess in some way or another, at some point, Philip must have said, and one of the things you can do is get baptized. Because I don't think the Ethiopian eunuch would have just kind of plucked that out of the blue and said, oh, here's some water, let me get baptized. At some point, Philip's got to have said to him, one of the things that happens is that if you decide to follow Jesus, then one of the best ways you can possibly define that moment is by getting baptized, which shows, just as Josh read from Romans 6, shows that somehow you've died to your old way of life. You've been buried to your old way of life. You've been raised again into new life in Jesus Christ, so you can follow him, clean, forgiven, whole, for the rest of your life. And so there comes some water, and the eunuch looks at Philip and says, what's going to stop me from being baptized? In those moments, the Ethiopian eunuch made a decision that defined him. And made a decision that defined him for the rest of his life. You know, from that moment on, we never hear of him again. And whilst we can't tie all the history notes together, do you know that the Ethiopian Coptic Church is one of the oldest Christian churches in the world? It's got one of the longest traditions going back nearly 2,000 years. And whilst, as I say, we can't quite tie it all the way back to that Ethiopian eunuch, I'm guessing that defining moment that day actually became an incredible history story right through the next 2,000 years and into eternity. So, what about you? What about me? Jesus said to a man called Nicodemus who came and he was mulling over decisions, He was a teacher of the law. He knew all the kind of the rigors of what it meant to follow the laws of the Old Testament. But this Jesus guy had got him intrigued and he wanted to know a bit more. So he sneaked off to talk to Jesus at night. And one of the powerful things Jesus said to him was, unless somebody is born of water and spirit, he can't see the kingdom of God. Born of water and spirit. Actually, in the Greek New Testament, those two are pulled together. It's almost like you'd have to translate it as born of water, spirit. And one of the reasons we pray for our young people or anybody who's getting baptized is that we pray, that we don't just want to see them baptized in water. We want them to be born of God, the Holy Spirit. That God, the Holy Spirit, steps into their lives and changes and transforms them so they can follow Jesus. And maybe tonight is a defining moment for you because you've never, ever come to a place where you said, that's me. I'm going to follow Jesus. You know, every single decision you make defines you. Whether it's money, whether it's career, whether it's university, whether it's course you do at university, whether it's decision to be loving and gracious, whether it's the decision to be patient and kind, whether it's a decision about how you run your sex life. Every single decision defines you. There's no decision greater than the decision that Anna and Josh have made tonight. And that is to decide than the decision that the Ethiopian eunuch made 2,000 years ago. And that is to decide to follow Jesus. That's the core decision. That's the eternal decision that defines you. So what's your choice? God's given us this amazing, amazing gift of freedom. Amazing gift of thought. Amazing gift of decision making. The most powerful decision you can ever make is simply, I have decided to follow Jesus. Let's pray together. Just in the quietness, you may have never ever considered this before. But all that Philip told this Ethiopian, that Jesus was a lamb who died in your place for your sin. He was one who rose again so that you could be cleaned and your transgressions, the wrong things in your life could be taken away. And you could become friends with the living God. And this might be God's defining moment for you tonight. Might be God simply saying to you, I'm here and I'm asking you, will you follow me? I'm here and I've given my son so you could be clean, so you could be forgiven, so you could have the presence of my spirit in you to follow me. Will you decide to follow Jesus? Just in the quietness of the moment, will you make that call? As other people, as everybody's praying, just if that's you, just as a witness to that, you might like to just lift up your hand and say, that's me. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus for life. Don't be afraid to make that decision. Just quietly lift your hand. Thank you.